Hallelujah. Open up with me tonight to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. We're going to continue on spiritual warfare. Really, there's so much to learn about the spirit, the spiritual battles, how to fight a spiritual battle. And I just want you to be ready whenever an attack comes at you and you know what to do with it.
Amen.
You ain't back into a corner with your head between your legs and crying and weeping, and that you come out fighting. You know how to, you have confidence in the weapons that you, that Jesus has given us to win this war that we're in. And first thing you need to understand is there is a spiritual realm, and the Bible says there was nothing made that was made in other words, God created everything that we see, and it was made from nothing. And He made it all. He made it all from the spiritual realm. Before there was a natural, there was a spiritual, the spiritual realm. God created us in His image and likeness. And therefore, since we have been created in the image and likeness of God, humanity is hated by Satan, because we have been made in the image and likeness of God. Satan has it out for us. We read in Revelation 12, 10, how Satan had been cast down to the earth. And it said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because Satan has been cast down to you. And he came down with great wrath. And he came, and the Bible says he knows his time is short. So, what I'm seeing here is your pastor is, as time is getting shorter and shorter, every day we're getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, things are falling in place for the Lord to come and for the rapture to take place. And the devil also knows these things. He knows his time is short. Therefore, he has thrown everything, he's throwing everything at humanity that he can right now to bring destruction. He is really working overtime. He's working overtime in our government to bring division. Never seen in all my lifetime, I've never been a person that really was followed politics real close. But the older I've got, I have got more interested in following a little bit about what's going on in our nation politically. And when I look at things from the Bible's perspective, I see so much corruption. I see so much wickedness. I see so much evil, because the Lord has given me a heart to see now. That in time before, I didn't see what was going on. It might have been going on, but I really never seen so much division in our government as I have today. It beats all I've ever seen. But it lets us know that Satan's working overtime, and he wants to destroy this nation. Our nation was founded on Christianity. And our forefathers believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they believed in prayer before they had meetings and so forth. But today, you'll be lucky to find a godly leader. You'll be lucky to find, out of all the House and the Congress and the Senate and the presidencies and so forth, you'll be lucky to find anybody that really, truly, genuinely loves Jesus Christ. No, yeah, they'll talk about it. Oh, yeah, they'll mention it in a sentence every now and then. But a lot of that ain't nothing but just talk, just a false confession, trying to fool people to vote for them. But they're going to have to answer to the Lord one day for their actions, and we will also. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, what I want to show you tonight, I've talked to you about this, but I want to show it to you in the Bible, that you have two sets of eyes. You have a natural set of eyes that you see things in the natural with. When I look out tonight, I see blue chairs. I see people sitting here. I see the walls and so forth. I see the flags. I'm seeing with my natural eye. You're seeing with your natural eye. But we have another set of eyes. And they have to be open for us to be able to see into the spiritual realm. But they're called spiritual eyes. In Ephesians chapter 1, around verse 17 and 18, there's a prayer in the Bible that Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that I love to pray. And I think you should learn to pray this one also, because it'll be a blessing to you. Paul said that, Lord, may you give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and may the eyes of my understanding be opened. Because anything that the world needs right now, they need the eyes of their understanding open. Yes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, that the god of this world, being Satan, the devil, the god of this world, little g, in 2 Corinthians 4:4, says the god of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not. They can't see. They can't see what's going on. If you have spiritual insight, hallelujah, it's because the Holy Spirit has shown you things. He's given you revelation of things. You see things that, listen, you may see, some people in the church see more than others see. You know why? It's because they have dug deeper. They have prayed a little longer. Hallelujah. They have sought the Lord. And their spiritual senses are keen. And they are tuned in to the things of the Spirit. Therefore, they can see what other people don't see. Everybody don't see the same thing. Amen? But this Bible gives us, it tells the whole, from the beginning to the end. It tells how the earth began. It also tells how the earth going to end. It's all there. But a lot of people haven't read enough of the book to know what's going to happen in the end days. Listen, Hollywood knows more than half the church does.
Amen.
No joke. I mean, Hollywood's producing movies of things that's going to happen in the end times. They're seeing things. They're producing things. And then I believe God is using all kind of things to try to get people to get ready. But people sometimes just refuse to believe even what they see. Amen? So in 2 Kings chapter 6, look at verse 16. It says, so he answered. I'll tell you what, let's go to verse 14, please. Verse 14. 2 Kings 6, verse 14. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Verse 16. So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And verse 17. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elijah. So in this, we see that Israel fixing to come under attack with a great army. And Elijah, he's the man of God, he's the prophet, and he sees things, it being under the anointing of a prophet, he sees things in the spiritual realm. He's not afraid at all. He's in perfect peace. And the servant of the man of God is fearful and trembling And Elijah said to the Lord, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see what I see." And when his spiritual eyes were opened, then he could see all the angels standing there guarding, and they were more for them than what had been brought against them to destroy them. The angels, hallelujah, come to defend and to stand guard and to watch over the man of God in Israel. But the servant couldn't see that with his natural eyes. And there's a lot of things you're going to miss unless you see with your spiritual eyes. You can't even discern the word of God unless your spiritual eyes are opened. Did you know that? You can read over things and it just go right by you. But if your eyes are open, you can see things like, wow, I never seen that before in the word of God. I never knew it meant that. You get a revelation. Revelation means the light has come on. That means the veil has been lifted. You can see things that ordinarily were hidden from you. But you need spiritual eyesight today. Amen? You can have a natural set of eyes and be full of fear. But if God opens your eyes and you see, hallelujah, in the spirit, there's angels out there, y'all. There's an army of angels out there here to protect God's children. But you can't see them, but they're there. But you can see them if God opens your eyes and allows you to see into the spiritual realm. I'm trying to get you to see that the spiritual realm is more real than what you see in the natural. You just can't see it. This past Sunday's sermon was called The Invisible War. The war zone. It's the enemies that we're fighting against, you can't see with your natural eyes. Satan don't show up and knock on your door with a pitchfork and a long pointed tail with horns sticking out of his head, dressed in a red costume. And he don't introduce himself and say, "Hello, here I am, I'm Satan." It don't work that way. He comes, you know, when Satan comes, oftentimes the Bible says he masquerades as an angel of light. What's that mean? He's going to come in the form of good. Hello? He's going to come in the form of good. You'll think he's all right. And if you can't see, and if you don't have discernment, if your spiritual eyes ain't open, he'll pull the wool over your eyes. Have you fallen into what we call deception? Now, also take a look. I want to show you something else in the spiritual realm. In Daniel. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 10, I believe it is. Daniel dropped behind Ezekiel. Look at chapter 10, verse 10. It says, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the word that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling." Verse 12. "Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel. Do not fear, Daniel." The Lord knows your name. When he talks to you, he'll call you by name. Right now, an angel has been sent, and an angel is talking to Daniel. An angel. Remember what angels do for us. They are created being by God, but they are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Amen. Who is the heirs of salvation?
We are.
We are. Amen, Henry. And the angel's talking to Daniel, and he said, "Do not fear, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come because of your words." But here's the spiritual war. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael is an archangel. He is the head of the army of God. Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings," plural, "of Persia." Verse 14. "Now I have come to make you understand." Thank God for understanding. "I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come." So Daniel, he understands the times of God. He's a man that God is speaking to. He's giving him future revelation on end time events. In the book of Daniel, you'll find out the book of Daniel and the book of Matthew 24 and the book of Revelation, they all tie together about end time events. God showed Daniel so many wonderful things. And Daniel knew the times. Daniel had been taken captive into the kingdom of Babylon. And all the children of Israel were taken captive also. And they renamed Daniel. And he was up under the king there. But Daniel knew the time that they were to be released from Babylon. God gave him a prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 29. He said, "You'll be there for 70 years. And after 70 years is completed, you're going to be brought out and you're going back home." Well, the end of the 70 years had been completed. Daniel knew the times. He had discernment. He had spiritual eye. He could see what was happening, and what he was doing when he was praying, he was saying to God, "God, you said in your word that you would deliver us after we had been here 70 years. 70 years is approaching. And Lord, we are looking forward to going home." Daniel is praying and he's fasting. And as he prays and fasted, the angel came to Daniel and the angel said, "Daniel, from the very first day that you got on your knees and you began to seek God," he said, "God heard your voice. And he also answered from the very first day. But the angel said, when I was sent to you to come and give you the answer," he said, "I was withstood as I was coming from heaven, coming to earth to tell you what God said to tell you." He said, "I was withstood and I had to fight with the prince of Persia." Now, the prince of Persia is not an earthly prince. It is a spiritual prince. It's what we would call spiritual wickedness in heavenly places in Ephesians chapter 6. The prince of Persia withstood this angel, a messenger, for 21 days they fought. Now, what you got to see with your spiritual eye tonight is when Daniel started to pray, up in the heavens, there became a war. There became a fight between God's angels and one of the devil's top princes, the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia is over an area, Persia itself. I told y'all that we got demonic principalities over Washington, D.C. Yes. Listen, God has these princesses over different locations in the world so he can rule and reign and bring about his plan of destruction upon the earth. And as Daniel prayed and fasted, God sent the answer, but there was a war going on up in the heavens. This is a spiritual battle. This is a real battle. It's between God's angels and the devils, the angels that followed the devil when he fell out of heaven. But they're fighting. Listen, you never know sometimes. Whenever you go into prayer and you get on your knees and you get real with God and you start praying and fasting, hallelujah, because you're standing in the gap for somebody, you'll never know the warfare that's going on up in the heavens that is caused by your prayers. So sometimes when you pray, your prayers ain't answered overnight for a reason. Sometimes it's because they are delayed because there's a struggle going on in the heavens. They got to be enough prayer support. Sometimes when you praying and you ain't and it ain't moving nothing, you need to add some fasting with it. Amen. Fasting and prayer. Amen. And this war escalated in the heavens. And after 21 days now, these angels are fighting in the heavens. 21 days. They ain't down here fighting. They up in the heavens. The warfare. The war's going on. Because Daniel began to pray. But God sent another angel to fight with this prince of Persia so the first angel could be released and go on and give the message to Daniel. So when he got to Daniel, he said, Daniel, I supposed to got here 21 days ago. You didn't even have to fast for 21 days. I supposed to got here the first day. But I was delayed. And see, a lot of people don't understand the delays in prayer sometimes. Because you still have to keep on believing. You have to stay on your knees. You have to stay before God. And you have to make your petition known to God. You have to stay in faith because the warfare is raging. You just don't see what's all going on. But you just caused the war to go on in heaven. Wow. For real.
Beautiful.
War in heaven. Prince of Persia fighting with an angel of God. A lot of people don't see that. But I'm telling you, the war is real. Not only did it happen in Daniel's day, it's still happening in our days. There's warfare going on in the heavens when the church, when God's people grab a hold of the horns of the altar and begin to seek God, hallelujah, on behalf of this nation and behalf of your families. And whatever you're praying about, I'm telling you, there's a war going on. And whenever you get an answered prayer, it's because God angels have won. Amen?
Amen.
But they'll try to withstand the angels of God. That's really hard to fit into your way of thinking. Two angels fight. But they fight. And they're fighting for you. They are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's you. So, the war is real. Now, last example I want to show you tonight is in Acts chapter 16. Let me add this. As you turn to Acts chapter 16, I want to add this. I was thinking today about the spiritual warfare. This is kind of changing channels a little bit, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we talked about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every imagination and every high thing into the casting down every thought and casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. It talks about strongholds in that sentence. Do y'all know what a mental stronghold is? It's a mental stronghold. And it says, the weapons that we have can pull down these strongholds. But unless you use the weapons of our warfare, these strongholds remain. And we have, all of us in here, have some mental strongholds that Some of them need to be demolished. Demolished, that means cast down. That word stronghold itself means a fortress. It speaks of a castle. It talks about a walled city. It talks about a block house. You think about a block house, it's block upon block upon block upon block upon block or brick, block, whatever. You just keep building it. Brick, one brick at a time, block by block. But eventually you got a wall, right? You got a block house. So what the devil tries to do with us and the unbelieving world, whether you're saved or unsaved, the devil wants to plant an ungodly thought in your head.
Amen.
He wants to do something to divert you from truth. And he does that, and he tries to sway us away from God by lying to us. But you have to be, have to know the word for yourself. If you ain't careful, he'll mix truth with a lie. And it'll sound good. And when it sounds good, a lot of people bite on it. They take it. They say, well, that sounds good. That sounds right. But just because it sounds, you have to go back to the word itself, the Bible, and find out, is it legitimate? Is it true? Is it not on? It's got to be 100% true to be true. It can't be 99.9 and be true. Amen?
Right.
Amen. Water is not truly water if it's got one drop of Kool-Aid in it. Just one drop. It turns it into something different. It ain't 100% water no more.
Amen.
So the devil is very good about sowing thoughts. And you can't stop a thought from coming to your mind. I heard someone say the other day, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. Anybody been able to do that? I mean, you go outside and birds start, they just flying, right? Listen, but you don't have to let the bird build a nest on your head.
That's right. Amen.
You can't stop him from flying over, but you don't have to let him build a nest on top of your head where he can come light all the time.
Amen.
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 So these thoughts become strongholds after a while if we ain't careful. Satan wants to build a stronghold in your mind, a castle, a fortress. It's a belief system. It's a belief system. Paul says a stronghold are lies of Satan that get so ingrained in our minds and in our belief system that now they exert power over certain areas of our life. That's what Satan wants you to do, to believe a lie and then begin to act on it. And he becomes, he has an entrance into your life. Think about this. I've thought about this for years, and I've seen people that have strongholds. And I've had to demolish some strongholds. Listen, I lived in the world for 27 years ungodly. 27 years. From the age of 13 to 27, y'all don't even want to know what I got into. But it wasn't good. And I built up mental, I acted on the thoughts that he put in my head. I did things that were not right. And you develop strongholds. You think, oh man, if it feels good, do it, right? Is that biblical? If it feels good, do it?
No.
That's what the world says though, right? Mm-hmm. The world says if it feels good, it must be good, so do it. And God is good, right? Must be good. No.
God says, I am holy, and of course you should be holy.
Be holy. Now, that right there is what we should be thinking about, being holy before God. But here's the thing. Some of the strongholds of Satan, which it could be a list of this long. I just mentioned a few just to give you a hint. Fear is a stronghold that gets inside people's mind. And I have seen people really act strange because of this thing called fear. Now, can you see fear?
No.
I ain't seen nobody show up with a fear shirt on saying, I'm Mr. Fear. No. He comes with thoughts. It comes with a thought. You know where I told y'all about my wife, right, that dealt with the spirit of fear. And it's a spirit now. The Bible calls it a spirit of fear. You know when this thing took root in her? When she was young. I don't forget, she said she was maybe 10, 11, 12. But some little girl in school told her that if she didn't do what she told her to do, that she was going to put a spell on her mama and cause her mama to die.
Oh, man.
Another 10, 11-year-old girl going to cast a spell on her mama. And my wife, that thing caused fear to rise up in her. She really thought that girl had the power to kill her mama with some kind of curse. And that fear came in. And you know what? They had to hospitalize her at that age over that thought. Thought. Don't think a thought can't mess you up. If you don't cast it down, it will build a stronghold up here. The longer you let it linger, the longer you hold on to it, that thing is building a castle up there. And it gets harder and harder and harder to demolish it. And it took, fear bothered her all her life till she got, even when she married me. But after I got saved and found out about the weapons of my warfare, and I taught her how to fight this battle. Amen. This is how you're going to have to fight this battle, baby. And man, she finally caught on and went to war. It's a spiritual war, and she finally defeated that spirit of fear. Amen. She's free from it now.
Amen.
She ain't woke up in the middle of the night, and I couldn't tell you how long, shivering and quaking and fearful, thinking she was going to die. Couldn't even see nothing. I'm like, this can't be real. What is she afraid of? I don't see nothing. But it's real. I found out it's real. It's real to her. I can't tell her this ain't real. Because she's saying, it's real. I'm under attack. And I'm talking about shaking like a leaf. But fear, you know, people are scared of darkness. If you turn the lights on, there's nothing to be afraid of, right?
Amen.
The same thing's in the room when it's dark as it is when it's light.
That's right.
But it's all here. Something gonna get me in here. And we become afraid. And then that's why, the first thing the angel told Daniel, do not fear. When Jesus spoke to so many people that he brought deliverance to or healing to, the first thing he would say, do not fear. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Because that is one of the major tactics of the enemy is fear. Because fear will destroy faith. You can't have fear and faith at the same time. It can't happen. You have to get rid of the fear. So fear is a stronghold, a mental stronghold. It's a spirit. It starts with a thought. Here's another one. Insecurity. Insecurity. There's a lot of people that are insecure. They don't feel like they fit in. They don't feel like they're worthy. They can come into a place like this and everybody in here love them. I'm talking about pray for them. Love them. Take care of them. But in their mind, the devil tells them, they don't like me. The devil said, they don't like me there. And they don't come. They miss church because they don't think you like them when all you've ever done is love them. It's a spirit. It's warfare. It's something you have to overcome. If you ever give in to any of these things, the devil will hold you in bondage all your life. All your life. You have to fight. You have to use the weapons of your warfare. Y'all remember what those weapons were I told y'all about Sunday? And Sunday before?
The Bible, praise.
The Word.
Praise, yeah.
The name.
The name.
The blood.
The blood. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. The power of prayer and the power of praise. There's some more. But that's just, if you've got them right there, you ain't losing. You just got to learn how to use these weapons. Insecurity. Here's another one that hits people. Rejection. Rejection. People feel rejected. They don't feel like they fit in. And rejection can start at a very early age. It can actually start with a child in its mother's womb that the mother does not want the child. Maybe it was that she got pregnant out of fornication, or maybe out of rape, or some other ungodly reason, but the mother doesn't want this child. But she's going to give birth to it. But the whole time she's carrying this baby, she's carrying it with not acceptance, but rejection. And that spirit of rejection hits that child even when it's in its mother's womb. And they are born with a spirit of rejection. And rejection works two ways. When you have a spirit of rejection on you, they will either bow down and cower down real easy. Not want to make any scene. Just bow down. Just take anything. Just take anything. Just keep putting it on. Just keep putting it on. Just keep putting it on. And the other way rejection lashes out is opposite. It says that nobody will ever rule over me again type way. I will not accept being ordered or pushed around, or they rebel real easy. Amen. And when you see people that rebel real easy over things that they shouldn't have a problem with, it's usually a spirit of rejection behind their obedience. Spirit of rejection. But all these are mental strongholds that begin in a person's mind from some scene or some action, and it can start from in the womb, it can start in elementary school or whatever. But you got to watch these strongholds. But once they get there, and then you become a child of God. I told y'all for 27 years, from 13 to 27, I was a hellion. I had all kinds of stuff in my head. I had spider webs. I had snakes in the head. I had everything. I needed the blood of the Lamb. I needed the name of Jesus. I needed the Holy Ghost to clean me up, because I was a mess. You know, when you get saved, your spirit gets saved, but your mind don't get saved. The Bible says your mind has to be renewed. It has to be renewed so you can be transformed. That's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You have to renew your mind so you can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You have to get in the Word. So through the years, as I got into the Word then, that revelation came and said, hey, you got to knock that stronghold down. And then when the Satan come to tell me a lie and plant another one, I would cast that thought down. You say, I ain't accepting that thought. That ain't God's will. That don't line up with God's Word. The Bible said, cast that thought down. You have to cast it down. Your pastor can't do it for you when you're at work. You out there all by yourself. It's you and the Lord, the angels, and even the devil's coming. And he'll plant some stuff into your mind, and if it's ungodly, and if you don't cast it down, and you keep playing with it, and you keep thinking on it, that's called meditation. You keep thinking about it, oh, this might be good. Ooh. Next thing you know, they clink in the jail. How did I get here? With that thought that happened 2 years ago. How did you backslide? Oh, you started backsliding a long time before you backslid. Right. It was here. Somebody got a thought in their mind, and they like, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. I can stay home and watch brother so-and-so on TV, and I can drink my coffee and eat my donut, and I'll be just fine. Uh-huh. Son, the devil done got up in your head. And you have no accountability. You have nobody to look over your life. And next thing you know, the devil said, I got him. Next thing you know, you don't see him in church for 5 years. And when you do see him, he ain't the same guy that you seen 5 years ago. He's messed up. Got needles hanging out his arms. Ain't took a bath in 2 months. Got 3 wives. Been through 4 divorces. He's a mess. How did that happen? It all happened because he allowed the devil to get into his mind, plant something, and he didn't cast it down. He let it sit there and sat there and sat there till it gave birth to sin. And then it not only destroyed him, it destroyed his family, and the devil said, ooh, I got, not only did I get him, I got the wife, I got the children, I got the whole stack. And it all started with a thought, y'all. Thoughts are serious.
Yes.
It's the battlefield of the mind. You have to protect your mind. You have to protect your mind. Because if you don't change the way you think, you can't change the way you act.
Everybody.
Did y'all get that?
Yeah.
If you don't change the way you think, you ain't gonna change the way you act. That's why when some people get saved, they saved, but they don't act like they saved. Why? They never sat up under the word long enough to let the word renew their mind so they'll know how God wants them to act and to do. They don't give their life over to him. They came and say one prayer, never come to church again. I guarantee you they ain't gonna walk like Jesus walked. They ain't gonna walk like, because they, first of all, they don't know. You have to renew your mind. After I got saved, the pastor didn't have to call me and tell me I needed to go to church.
Right.
You know who told me?
You.
Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Says you need to go to church. And I started going to church.
Amen.
I started sitting there. I started listening and listening. And I got on fire. And I wanted to do something for God. And it just, one thing led to another. Here I am. Let me say this to the people watching by media. It was an honor to be with you, and we hope that the word that we shared with you tonight was a blessing to you. Remember to watch what you are watching with your eyes, what you are hearing with your ear, because it's going to settle in your mind. You got to watch the satanic lies of the enemy in your life. You got to cast them down. I'm here to tell you, if you'll use the weapons that I've been talking about the last 2 or 3 weeks, you'll win these spiritual wars, and you'll be free. Jesus loves you. He's already died for you. He's already been nailed to the cross, and he's already rose from the dead on the third day. I want you to believe in him. He'll demolish every stronghold. He'll give you a life worth living if you'll just call on the wonderful holy name of Jesus Christ. He is Lord, and every knee shall bow in his name. God bless you. Thank you for watching.